So we have comedian, TV, and movie actor Rob Falcone. Rob has an amazing, he is a character actor and comedian. He's been on shows like Orange is the New Black, Blue Bloods, HBO's The Sopranos, and he's been in movies, Money Monster, Spider-Man 2. He also tours with his comedy. Funny guy, really, really interesting guy. I had the pleasure to see him with my wife, and my face still hurts. I still have face damage from laughing so hard. So he's going to be our first guest today on our show.
Hi, Rob. Are you with us?
I'm with you.
There he is.
Hey, how are you?
I am with you. How are you, pal?
Good.
I
How you
love it.
doing?
Micro. I love the micro weddings. That's good. Does that mean we could give a micro present?
I love that. Yes, let's do that. $10.
Yes. Instead,
my
I'd like to
getting
give
married,
that
Rob,
person.
And I told him to have a beef and beer.
Well, I'll tell you, I would like to give that person as a wedding gift a whole set of plastic forks and knives.
There you go. See, Rob, you only give the best, right? Only give the best.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome.
We're certainly
You'll spend more for the bag it goes in.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, we're excited to have you join us today.
Well, I'm excited to be here.
It's great. I was looking over your resume. Yeah, I was looking over your resume here, and I can't believe you've been on some amazing shows, some of my favorite shows of all time, Blue Bloods, The Sopranos, which, you know, you allude to in your act, which I love. But also Money Monster, Spider-Man, you've kind of, you know, been all over the place with acting. What gave you the acting bug? What got you into the entertainment industry, the acting, and obviously being a funny man?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I found at a very early age that I was very unhappy with reality. And so I wanted to jump into fantasy. And the best way to do that is into acting and comedy. You know, I tried brain surgery, but I always made all the nurses laugh. So I said, I don't think I'm in the right field. I always wanted to be, you know, I'll tell you, since I'm a little kid, I always wanted to be an actor. I just was drawn to that kind of lifestyle. And, you know, I'm the little kid that parents were afraid of, because when I was growing up, they called it the boob tube. You know, you watch too much TV, it's no good for you. Me, I just lived for watching TV. I loved what was going on in there. And I said, I got to get in. I want to get in there.
Very
good. Are you a character?
Yes, I'm a character actor. I tried going out for
eat. Yeah, no, I get it. No, I always wanted to be Carol Burnett.
Oh, God, what an amazing person. What an amazing person.
I love the show. I mean, it was something I grew up with, and I said, you know, I love that. I never really got on stage to be a comedian, but I did do stage work with comedies and musicals. So, you get the bug if you like doing that. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, I got out of it because I had to get a job that paid money. But, you know, it's...
Yeah, that's the thing. It is an art form. And
broke.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. You know, any art form, you have to accept the fact that you might not make a lot of money. You might love what you're doing, but it's a gamble. It really is, you know. And you just, you know, like you say, you get the bug. It is. It's such an addiction, especially stand-up comedy. I mean, comics that are professional comics, they're drawn to it. We're drawn. The only way you could survive the ups and downs of the comedy business is to be so in love with doing it that you're willing to endure the bumps on the way.
Exactly. What is that term, character actor? I hear that thrown around a lot. I remember I saw an interview with Larry King. He was interviewing, I think it was Walton Goggins.
Yes.
And he said, you're described as a character actor. You know, what is that? Isn't every actor that acts a character actor because you're playing someone else?
Well, not in a sense. A character comes from the term, you're being a character. What a you know, like when you say, oh, what a character that person is. You're kind of stepping, you take a role that is not the norm, per se. You know, like George Clooney is a leading man. He takes on roles that are not the street vendor or the crazy cab driver or the, you know, custodian or the guy next door that is like a little wacky, you know, that plays his music too loud. And those are character actors. Character actors are actors that give a little bit more animation to their role, and they're playing a character, whether it's, you know, like I've played newsstand guys, cabbies, you know, custodians, crazy characters with that embellish themselves with a dream, but they're really not going anywhere. You know, they believe so much in themselves.
Well, you got mobsters. I mean, you can go through a whole list.
Yeah,
of
and a mobster. Yeah, and a mobster is a character actor in a sense. I've played mobsters, and I actually played a mobster in a comedic role, which I loved, because being the character, you kind of bring out this, you know, a character actor will create this person that you might call very lovable, you know, like look at Lou Costello, you know, he was a character actor. When you watched him, you know, he the character that he played, and you know, in real life, he was not Lou Costello. He was Lou Costello, the very serious, very demanding actor. But when he played Lou Costello in films, he was a character. You loved him. You laughed. His mannerisms. He created this person, this persona.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, some of the biggest actors and actresses are character actresses. And you see them.
Well, I'll give you a good example. Eugene Levy. Eugene Levy is absolutely hysterical. And the roles that he has played are characters. He creates that, you know, he gets the breakdown. What we do is when we go out for an audition, we get the breakdown of what they're looking for as who the character is. Like sometimes I'll get an audition and it'll say a real New York character. Very either rough or gruff, or so you create. You say, okay, well, if he's a real New York character, what they're really looking for is the speech, the you know, your diction should sound maybe Brooklynish or the Bronx, or you know, you create now this character. And whether is he nervous, is he high strung, is, you know, and you get a little bit of information so you could create the person now that when you go in an audition, you hope that they like what you've created. Because see, that's the key, is to not, what a director loves when you bring something to the camera, when you bring, you know, when you give some, they're looking for something. And if you're able to give them what they're looking for, you'll get the part.
Absolutely. One of the parts, I have to ask you this. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this question. So you were in one of my favorite shows of all time, The Sopranos. And
yes.
I think I don't know if it'll do it any justice to do your big part from The Sopranos. I don't know if that would translate over the radio as opposed to in person.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Do we have time? Because it's such a long
scene. Did you kill anybody? I just know. Did you kill anybody?
No, believe it or not, the backstory on that was I had what I would say, and this is why I do it on stage, I had probably what they would say was the smallest part ever to be cast on The Sopranos, the smallest speaking part, because I had one word. That was it, but it was a powerful word. I was a construction foreman on the construction site, and AJ starts to work there because he's in love with the Spanish girl that's working there, and the father is like very upset with him, so he makes him go to work, and he's he's not doing his job. He's staring at the Spanish girl when she's going into the trailer, and he's just standing there. So I yell to him, "Soprano!" And I give a hand gesture. Yeah, and I give a hand gesture like, you know, come on, like, you know, let's move it on here. Now, the backstory with that was that excited me, and I'll give you an idea of what show business is like and what you have to endure. When I got cast for that, the director was an incredibly great guy. And after I shot it and we wrapped up, he called me over and he said, "Rob, I want to introduce you to the writer. And just to let you know," because see, that was the final episode of season 6. That was the final episode. And I was introduced in that. See, the episode before mine, Jimmy says to his son, AJ, he says, "You're going to work. Tomorrow you got to go to this construction site. You see this man, Mr. Caravallo. He's your boss." Now, that was me. And then in the last episode, I'm introduced as Mr. Caravallo, AJ's boss on the construction site. And so the director said to me, "Now, look, Rob, I don't want you to be discouraged. I know this was a very small scene, but you're being introduced. When we come back next season, don't forget AJ's working on the construction site. He's in love with the Spanish girl. So you're going to have plenty of reoccurring, you know, scenes in season 7. And I went, "Oh my God." I said, "That's fantastic. So thank you so much." Yes. I said, "Yeah." And what they, you know, he brought me up to a nice level of euphoria. And so now throughout the course of the season, I'm waiting for the call. When am I going to get the call? And I'm going to start shooting now. Where's my scenes? What's happening? And, you know, I almost get to the point where I want to call them and say, What are you? What am I, a mirage? What am I, an orphan? What, did you forget about me? You know, come on, I'm waiting here. I already shaved. I'm ready. And what happened was the last season starts, and, of course, AJ now is totally changed. His hair is short. He's working in a video store. He's not working at the construction. So the writers just changed the whole storyline.
Well, and I
yeah, and I said, "Well, that's show business. You know, that's what happens." And, you know, it was so funny because my manager was smart, because when the director told me all of this, I get in the car and I call my manager right away. And he says, "Oh, man," I says, "you don't know. The director introduced me to the writer. He said, you know, I'm going to be coming back." And my manager was just like my father. He was like, "Well, we'll see." You know, it's like totally put me right back into reality.
Right.
Well, we'll see.
Don't rain on my
we'll
parade.
We'll
come
see.
On. This is,
yeah.
I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, don't
so,
get your hopes up.
What's going on now with you? I mean, I know you travel around and you do the comedy. Are you up for any more shows?
I got this weekend I'm in Lynbrook, Long Island. Next week I'm in Pearl River, New Jersey. I used to travel a lot. I used to go to North Carolina, Buffalo, Ohio, Chicago, but not as much anymore. I pretty
you did
much
comedy
stay
in the South. I can't even imagine with your accent, really.
Oh, I'll tell you something. North Carolina had a club there. It was called Charlie Goodnights. I don't know if it's still going on. It was fantastic. And you know what the odd part about when you go down south to do comedy? And the show is over. And, of course, when they introduce you, they usually say, "And from New York, ladies and gentlemen, we have a great comic coming up to the stage. He's from New York." He's there. So now the show is over. You don't know how many people come up to you and say, "Oh, my God, we lived in Queens. I used to live in Jersey." Everybody from down south moved there from the north.
They don't want to pay all the real estate taxes.
No,
right.
Exactly. They all say the same thing. "Oh, we couldn't take it any longer. We came." And so I really, when you go down south, you kind of feel at home because the audiences are from someplace else.
Well, and plus you have your just the type of personality that I think everyone just loves and gravitates to. When I first met you, when you were in Atlantic City back in November,
yes.
You were on a ticket with Steve Rinaldi, who's going to be a guest on one of our upcoming shows here, and
yes,
Gary
nice
Ewing.
Guy.
And yeah, and I said, these guys, all three were outstanding. I think you guys were, you had your A game on. And you came out and we talked at the end of the show, and you were just, you're very approachable. You're very gracious to your fans, which, by the way, thank you, because I'm a fan now officially.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a blast that night. That was a wonderful gig. And what you saw was the fantasy, was the Rob Falcone with the face on of the entertainer. In real life, you don't want to know me. I'm a miserable bastard. I really am. It's like I hate people. You know, I go on Facebook and I look and I says, if you post more than 5 posts, I'm unfollowing you. You're on Facebook too much. I can't take this. You're posting and posting and posting. I know, but I appreciate that. And thank you so much. I love what I do.
Love the love, though. You know what? You don't want to go in a room where nobody even cares. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, people, I used to sing with a band. I was really young, okay? And I don't even go into some of the places we went to, but people would be sitting there being rude. And it was terrible.
Oh, God.
It was terrible. I can't
you
even imagine what
it's like.
Stand up and it's
well,
dead
today,
out there.
You know what I'm dealing with now, and we're all comics are dealing with, and I mean, they deal with this at Broadway shows. I don't know where these people, where their minds are at, but if you're in a live performance, and especially in a comedy club, when you're pretty close to the performer, it's not like you're on your cell phone, you're texting, and you know when the lights are out in a comedy club and somebody turns their phone on, it's like a beacon that shoots up into the sky, you know, because the phone is bright and they're on. And, you know, it's very distracting, and we deal with that constantly. Somebody will actually even, be texting while the show is going on, and you want to say something. You want to, like, you know, go
to
that
person.
Are you
playing like a Don Rickles thing? I mean, he used to go after people like that.
Well, I sometimes have a funny thing where if I see someone texting, I go, what is it? What's so important that you have to do this right in the middle of my act? Is it, what is it, your babysitter? And then I pick up, I make believe I'm talking on the phone. I go, your kids are horrible. Come home. They just shaved the cat. I'm leaving. You know? And so I will turn it into
one of them. None of them,
yes,
not?
I'll turn it in, and I'll put them on the spot, but I won't do it viciously. I won't do it to where they're offended or anything. I'll include. I said, you know, you want to be a spotlight, I'll include you in the act, but I won't be vicious to you. You know, I won't say anything derogatory. You know, but I will embarrass you a little bit, in a nice way.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Rob, let me ask you something. Is there a place where you have a schedule where you might be doing some comedy acts, or do you have anything coming up in the area?
Well, you're down near Philadelphia, right?
Whole greater Philly area, but we have listeners all over the country.
Well, the closest, as I said to Tony, in March, I'm at a beautiful theater down in Lakehurst, New Jersey, the Strand Theater. And it's a fantastic show. It's nothing but a headliner show. The best way to follow me, I sometimes get lazy and I don't post all of the events that I'm performing in on my website. But, of course, my website is robfalcone.com, and you could always go there. But the best thing in the world is to look me up on Facebook, because every event that I do, they're always posting it on my page, and it's usually in a long enough time ahead of schedule to where you could, you know, check it out. And that is the most recent way, you know, to do it. And
there are also links on your website too for Facebook. So if they go to
robfalcone.com,
they can click right through.
Yeah. Listen, it's easy. All you have to do is on the internet in the search bar, just type in Rob Falcone and that's it. You know, you'll find me.
Well, I did
there
that.
You go.
And I got to tell you, I got about 4,000 Rob Falconis that came up. Maybe some
yes,
of them are
but,
dead,
but
they were
I'm
there.
Not the realist. I'm not the real estate agent or the World War II bomber pilot. I'm Rob Falconi. Yes. You know,
yeah.
But if you could even usually what happens is when the search bar comes up, when you type Rob Falconi, it'll come up comedian or but you'll get. But Facebook is simple, you know, and I'm not hard to find because my face is pretty, you know, pretty different from the regular. That's why I could never rob banks. You know, I walk in and they go, we know who he is. You know, even with the mask on, they go, he had a big nose. How do you know? I'm telling you, he had a big nose. You know, it's like so.
Rob, I love it on your website, how you on the bio section, Rob's $1 million face can be seen in numerous national commercials. I was thinking to myself, he does. He has $1 million face. You have a face. There.
Yes.
And
unfortunately, after taxes, I get about $3.85.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes.
Yeah, $1 million.
It's $1 million face, but, you know, nobody's offered me that yet, you know. But nobody said, yeah, if you go to my website and you hit the commercials tab, you'll see all the commercials I've done in the past. And you'll see how character
it
is.
Where are you from in New York? I mean, your accent is like there, you know?
Well, believe it or not, I was born in New Jersey. And I spent time in New Jersey and I spent time in New York. So I'm kind of a mixed breed. And I also do a very good Cary Grant, but nobody really knows Cary Grant anymore, so I can't do it as much. But I think you're absolutely fabulous. Yes, and what I've always wanted to do.
They know Betty White, though. She's 98 years old, and they know her.
She's
98
years
is.
Old. Yes, and they go up to her and they go, Betty, what's the secret? And you know what she says? Bacon,
yeah.
A lot of bacon. Eat
yeah.
bacon. It's good for you.
There
yes.
you go.
Bacon and espresso, and you'll live because you've died 30 years before, but your body won't accept it. Yes.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, and also doing what you love. And, Rob, that's what you do. I mean, you said it earlier. You love what you do.
I love it,
even,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
When we were chatting and you were talking about, you know, your auditions, you're passionate. You really want to get out there and put on your million-dollar face and you know, give the director
– I love it. You know, when I have in my closet, my clothes are more like wardrobe than clothes, because when I get a call for an audition, I right away go right into the manufacturing of the character that I'm now going out to audition for. I'll dress like the person that, or get close to it, you know, and, you know, I will, and I love that because it's make-believe. I love make-believe. I hate reality. Reality is horrible. It's stressful. It's, you know, you don't get any bills in fantasy. Yes, in
yeah.
fantasy, no
you
bills
know,
come.
Do you have auditions in New York, where most of your auditions are?
Pretty much all of them. Yes, all of them are in New York. And that's why I stay where I am. I'm in Queens, New York, and it's just a perfect hub for me. I could be in Manhattan in 15 minutes. I could get in the car and be on my way to Connecticut or Jersey or Long Island, and it's a great hub to where you could reach out to so many different places, because as I said, my performing
is doing his movie in Queens, the one where he played the king from Africa or something.
Yeah,
yes,
coming
yes.
to America. Yeah,
coming
well,
to
you
America,
know where
yeah,
I live. Yeah, they shoot a lot of stuff in my area, and it just drives me nuts if I'm walking down in the neighborhood and I see a movie set they're shooting or a show. I just go nuts because I want to be on it so badly, you know. I say, oh my God, I wish I'll try to sneak onto the set with a cape and a hat, you know, just to be noticed. You know? But
so
see, my dream
question,
to me, the sweetest gig in the world is to be a ventriloquist on the radio. I mean, come on. How is that not just perfect? You know, hello, Mr.
Yeah.
Falcone. Hiya, Bobby. How are you today? I'm doing fine. You know, you can't tell if I'm moving my lips. You know, that's why I always got a kick out of, you know, when in the early days of Edgar Bergen, and they did radio, and Edgar Bergen was a big radio ventriloquist. And it was funny because Woody Allen made a movie once called Radio Days, which is absolutely hysterical. And there's a scene where the uncle is, they're all sitting around the living room listening to the radio, and Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen is on. And the uncle is just so frustrated. He says to him, he goes, "What are you laughing at? How do you know he's not moving his lips?"
Oh, my goodness. You're right. That's so funny.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
All right, so Rob, I have a serious question for you here. So if you couldn't act,
you can only do one. He can only do one, Tony. He doesn't need to be serious.
Okay.
If I couldn't act or if I couldn't do comedy,
what would you do?
Well, let me tell you something. Before the acting in comedy, I was a carpenter. I was a builder. I was a jeweler. I used to be a diamond setter on 47th Street. I manufactured gold chains. I was very good with my hands. I renovated kitchens. I renovated bathrooms. I built walls in apartments because they were having a baby and they wanted to make a new room. I would screen in terraces because of the pigeon problem. I was a jack of all trades, master of none, you know. So I have done a lot.
No, you just had to make money. So that's what you did,
right? Yeah, well, back then, because, see, what happened with me is, of course, I always wanted to be an actor. And I did always want to be a comedian, but I was very afraid of entering it. That's why I didn't start it at a very young age, because of the fear. But what had happened was I woke up one day and that fear turned to, I was more afraid of not doing it than doing it. And that's what propelled me to get into the profession, because I was more afraid of living the rest of my life regretting it. And I knew I wasn't getting any younger. So, you know, I was more afraid of not doing it than doing it. And that's when I got an opportunity to audition for a off-Broadway play called Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Yes.
And which was a very good starter for any actor, because though you might have some lines, the play is pretty much improvisational. And I just had the opportunity to audition, and I auditioned, and I was in 4 days, I was an understudy in the play, and I never looked back from there. As a matter of fact, when I started doing Tony and Tina's Wedding, I did two performances before I immediately went to an open mic, a comedy open mic, and I never looked back.
So you were crazy Uncle Rob? Was that your part, right?
in Tony and Tina's Wedding?
Tony and Tina's
Wedding, I was Nick. See, everybody's last name in Tony and Tina's Wedding is Black. And I was Nikki Black. I was Nikki Black. And I had to bring the olives to the mother. And she says, when I bring her the olives, she goes, "Ooh, olives, they make you horny. I love olives." And then I served the ziti, and I did a dance with what Sparkle is. And when we served the ziti, we ad-libbed a lot of stuff. You know, yeah, my Uncle Tony, he's getting out Thursday. I don't know. He'll probably be back in on Monday, but we're trying to keep him out this time. You know, and we would do stuff like that, you know. But it was just such a – I remember the first time I performed and I was done. And after the show was over, I walked outside. And it was like this weight that was on my shoulders was just lifted. It was like all of a sudden it was like the invisible guardian angels went, "You're on your path. Now you are on the road that you're supposed to be on." And as I said,
it was awesome because you just kept going. And you know what? I think that, you know, you've accomplished what you went after. You know, it's not.
Well, you know what it was.
And the acting industry is swamped with everybody. I call them wannabes.
Oh, my God. And it is affecting the business.
Old, my mother was a stage mother. And I'd stand there for hours with these untalented people that wanted to be a star.
Oh, exactly. There's so many now out there. But see, I was lucky in a sense that I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to do it bad enough. And when I started doing it, there were always signs that said, you're supposed to be doing this. Like, it wasn't like, are you kidding? You know, you're not funny, or, you know, you're not good at acting. There was always the progression going forward that said, I am supposed to be doing this. This is what I am doing. You know, the praise that I got as an actor, the praise I got as a stand-up just got better and better and better, to where I said, you know, I am, my fantasy is now reality, and it's not a dream. It's real. Like, I wasn't kidding myself. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is the road I'm supposed to be on, you know, because I don't think it, as a carpenter, I'm a good carpenter and everything, but this is what I do best.
We're almost out of time here today, but I definitely
I absolutely enjoyed it. And the
thank
next
you so
time
much.
I do
yeah,
it,
we love talking.
Next,
yeah.
Hey, I'll do it any time, but the next time I want my coffee, maybe a Danish. I mean, come on, what are you running here?
Hey,
you know.
Italian, so I'm going to cook for you.
We want to come out and see you. We'll do a live show.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, listen, please, if you see where I'm performing, like, you know, I'm eventually going to get a date down in Bristol, PA for a great guy down there at the Comedy Works in Bristol, PA. And,
that's not far at all.
Yeah, Mike Kaplan is a great guy, and hopefully he'll be giving me a new date probably before summer. Probably it'll be springtime, and I would love to see you guys. I would love it. And if you want me to do a little radio, yes.
We'll do a little radio before.
Exactly. Love it.
Before we let you go, so what was the date? So you're going to be in Lyndhurst, New Jersey. That's coming up next month,
yeah,
right? You said
March 27th, I believe that is. Yes.
March. Okay.
March
27th.
The Strand Theater. Yes. Yes. Now,
excellent.
Things change periodically. You know, I'm going to be in Springfield, New Jersey, at a place called the Comedy Cove, which is also a great place to come and see me. I'm going to be there March 27th and 28th. Oh, no, is it March 20th? Hold on. Let's see. I think it's...
Definitely want to have a great date to give our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, March 21st. March 21st, I'm in the Strand Theater. That's Lakewood, New Jersey.
Lakewood, New Jersey, okay.
Yeah, that's
Tony,
down in New Jersey.
We'll stick it on the website. We'll stick it on the Facebook.
That's the 21st. And on the 27th and 28th of March, I'm at the Comedy Cove in Springfield, New Jersey. Great club, dude.
Outstanding.
Well, say hello
and
to everybody in North Jersey. Or is that
yes.
the beach
well,
here?
Well, I will.
North...
And you say hello
yeah.
to everybody down there in the Philly area. They got, you know what?
No,
they got
will.
Some great.
No, we are Philly
they got
people.
Some great
you know,
comics
it's not even
down
that,
there.
Though. Listen, my parents were born in New York, so it's okay. I'm all the way up there too. And my grandfather was a cop in Jersey City, so.
Oh, okay. That's what. Hey, listen. My mother grew up in Hoboken in Jersey City. That's yeah. Matter of fact, you know, that's where we shot my scene in Sopranos. We shot it in Jersey City.
Oh, wow.
I bet. I mean, that's the place
yeah,
to do it. But anyway, thanks,
side. Rob,
for being with us. And
hey,
we will
thank
definitely
you for having
look
me.
For that anytime.
Yeah, we'll
anytime.
Definitely be talking soon, Rob.
Yes, please do. Please do. And, you know, what I would do is I would call all the clubs that you're connected with and say, you got to use this guy. I mean, it's just
there
I'm throwing
go.
It out there.
That. Okay.
Yes.
Well, we'll try to do that for
Rob,
you.
Okay. Tony, everybody.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
You
right.
too.
Care.
You too. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So robfalcone.com, that is his website. That's where you can see pictures, his schedule. All the commercials he was talking about. Also, there's links there to his Facebook page and Twitter page. So, and he Rob had
just, like it goes too fast. You know what I mean? This was we could have kept
what
him on for an hour. I loved it. He was
great.
Really enjoyed listening to him.
Absolutely.
It brought back
Speaking
me
of social media.
Talking with my New York accent again. That's how he talks.
Yeah.
He's like Jersey City and Hoboken and Queens. I mean. My parents used to buy me cakes in Brooklyn for my birthday. They were born in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, all the relatives, every Sunday we would drive to New York and go visit relatives. It was so exciting.
Yeah,
I'm telling
yeah,
you, I mean, and they all moved to Florida, so we never saw them again.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That was the end of my New York bakeries. Boy, I got to tell you, Brooklyn bakeries are amazing.
Yeah. Well, see, I mean, we have Philly, though. We still have some great bakeries in Philly. They haven't all gone away.
Well, you have
so
Italian bakeries. If you go to South Philly, in between all the Vietnamese shops on 9th Street, there is an Italian bakery there that's amazing. But it's not the same. My mother worked in the Italian market for years. I was a little girl.
Yeah.
And she would buy my Easter baskets there. They used to have chickens hanging from the windows. I mean, it was like a crazy place. 9th Street,
anybody that's ever seen
insane.
Rocky knows that when Rocky's running down the street and he's passing all of them, you know.
They had the fresh Italian rolls. Everybody was there. Everybody was on 9th and 10th Street in South Philly. And if you grew up in South Philly, you know what I'm talking about. Today, it's really a mix. It's a huge mix now. 9th Street is not what it was. I mean, I'm going back years.
Yeah.
That was the Italian market. But it's okay. You know, we live in a diverse communities now, so it's okay. You're learning. I mean, I never ate hummus until 2 years ago. I didn't know what it was.
Oh, really?
My daughter goes, you got to try this stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you ever eat hummus?
Funny, when Rob was I've eaten hummus, and not one of my favorites, but I do enjoy it. You know, it's something that, you know, probably for game day, for a Sunday football game day.
Yeah, it's something
that's
different,
good,
but I didn't know what it was.
Right.
I didn't know it was chickpeas. Who would ever think to eat chickpeas? I mean, that's a Middle Eastern dish.
Yeah.
And I live in a neighborhood with all Russian restaurants. My husband got really – listen, have you gone into some of the restaurants where they have all these ethnic foods? Not the restaurants, but the grocery stores?
Yeah.
We have Indian markets. We have Asian markets now. We've got Russian markets. He goes in the Russian market, has no idea what's in the stuff. He goes, it looks good. He bought it. I was like, do you have any idea what's in it? I said, I can't eat something I don't know what's in it. It could be like fried cockroaches. I don't know. It's, you know, it's not something. You don't know. They have their own delicacies. I don't know. The only thing I don't like is curry. I don't like curry. I can't stand the smell of it. Other than that, I usually eat things.
I try to always.
Sorry, I got off the subject. We were talking about food.
With Rob.
I'm hungry. It's lunchtime.
I know, right? So Rob and I, we're both Italian, so I know the value of food. And I know that with a lot of Italian people, you don't have to pay them money. You can just pay them in food. So, you know, when Rob was mentioning that, I was like, yeah, that's no problem at all. We can definitely, we'll cook up a feast for him, come down, and that'll be his payment, you know, get some nice, you know, eggplant parmesan, something like that, you know. He'll be all set.
Hey, listen, we've got a caller. Let me see who's on the line with us. Give me one second and see if we can get him on line with us here. Got a few more minutes of the show. We might have to bring them on another time. Hey, this is Phyllis and Tony. Who's calling?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I was so into your hummus conversation, I forgot I had called.
Oh, well, there you are. Who's this?
This is Fabiola. Hi, Phyllis. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
We chatted.
So you like
Instagram.
Hummus?
Hey. Yeah, I was surprised that you hadn't had it ever. I was so intrigued. We chatted on Instagram a couple of days ago about my photography.
Yeah, good. I'm so
you
glad
really
you could call
intrigued.
In. So what do you think about hummus?
I love it.
Today on The Scoop, we're scooping some hummus.
Hey, she's from Jersey. Where are you at in Jersey?
Yeah, I'm from Somerset.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. That's right.
Not
you do photography, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She does awesome photography. And you know what? Our show is like, we only have a couple more minutes, but we'll talk a few minutes, but I hope you'll call back again because we want to talk to you about some of the neat stuff you're doing.
Yeah, sure. So when you contacted me, you had seen my senior photography work, which is for high school seniors, and that's what really I think interested you. So I'm
really
tickled that
you
wanted
me to
call.
Tony, he does these like spur of the moment, not sitting still shots of students, and for their senior.
Yeah.
You know how we used to sit there with the cap and gown, and we looked like we were, I don't know,
right?
We looked like dummies. I don't know. But she does it.
No,
like these amazing shots in their own environment. And they look so great. They look like, like when I say professional, of course they're professional, but it looks like they're models.
Yeah. Oh my God. Everyone's so beautiful. Like, how can I not capture them, like, in their, like, true moment? Because that's the thing with yearbook photos. Like, they're traditional, right? Everyone does them. Everyone does them every year. But it becomes so impersonal. And I don't remember. I remember when I got my cap and gown photos taken, and they just, like, sit you in the stiffest pose, and you can't move. And if you move, the photographer comes back and shifts your finger back in place, and then you have to smile awkwardly, and you're like, okay, I hope it turned out good. And that's not fun. I don't know. So
my yearbook, I looked like I was staring into space. I look crazy in the pictures. That's why when I saw your photos, I said, oh, my God, these are so amazing. And Tony, how did you like your high school photos?
Mine actually turned out well, but I never bought them. I had an attitude in 12th grade. I don't know. I was in a bad mood all year. So I didn't go to my prom. I didn't buy any senior pictures. I went to take the picture, but I never bought it. I didn't sign anybody's yearbook. I don't know why I had such a bone up my, you know what? I just was in a bad mood 12th grade year. So, but I apologize to everybody I might have like been mean to that year, because believe me, that was an awkward period in my life.
I bet you haven't been to a reunion in years.
Yeah. I
went to my high school reunion with my ex-husband, and he told everybody he went to school with them. It was really funny. And they believed him. I had no idea who these people were. I didn't even care. So the show is almost over, but we would definitely love to have you come back and call us maybe next week or the week after.
Yeah.
The best time usually is about 5 after 12 or around 12:45.
Right.
Yeah, call us back and let us know what's going on with the school pictures and about your photography and what's the best way to get a good picture. You know, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told you this, Tony, but I used to sell photography. It was one of my first jobs. And there were people that would come in, and, of course, this was like one of those places where you went in the store photography section, like Sears had them, and the processing was so bad. It was horrible. But anyway,
yeah.
I don't even want to go into that. But I love having you call in. We do have about a minute left. And, Tony, can you tell everybody where they can reach us?
Yeah, so we're online right now. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at Scoop Radio Show, SCOOP Radio Show. Make sure to definitely follow us, friend us. Again, if you like the show, comment, like, send messages. We want to hear your opinions, your feedback. Certainly, you know, feel free to call. We're going to keep you guys updated, all of our listeners, on what's happening from week to week, including the guests we're going to have and topics.
Oh, and our guest next week is Patrice Hawthorne, who was the Peaches from Peaches and Herb. So if you listen to those songs back in the 80s and 90s,
Reunited.
Peaches is going to be online with us next week as our celebrity guest.
Great.
And, of course, our special guest today, our call-in. Please call us back next week if you get a chance. I'm sorry we didn't have a lot of time. But, you know, we love to have everybody on. Rob Falcone, he was amazing today. Loved him, Tony. Can't wait to talk to some more people next week.
Yes.
So I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. And hopefully we'll have some people come in soon. So, Tony, have an awesome week.
You too, Phyllis, until we meet again.
All right, and thanks for joining us on the Scoop Radio Show.